Thanks, Pastor Kane. I think your trousers are shrinking. Hasn't he got magnificent hairy ankles? I couldn't listen to a thing he was saying. I was just mesmerized by it. He's a good man, and he's doing a great job with our young people. This is why there's a lot of equipment up here and lights, and it's exciting. If you find these things a little hard to take, just remember we're trying to reach the next generation, and we have to do it sometimes the way that it has to be done. It might not appeal to older generations, but we're out to get our young people and keep them. The sad thing that's happening in churches, don't leave. Don't leave. Just because I insulted you, don't leave. Stay here. We've got to reach the next generation. Many churches in Australia have lost the following generations, and we see those churches dying out, and that's terribly sad, with a great message of Jesus Christ to lose out on our young people. This morning, you may come and join me. We are a church that is, obviously in love with God, and we love people, but we're also focused on missions. And so I've asked Yimei to become part of our team to reach out into the university. And so we have the opportunity there through the Red Frogs program. She will head that up, and she will work with young people out there. They're keen to have us, and she's keen to go. And under Pastor Kane's covering, we're going to reach them, help them, counsel them, feed them, give them Red Frogs, do all the things that we need to do just to be able to develop a relationship so that we can share Jesus with them. And so just to let you know, we believe in missions from neighbourhood to nations, and so that's what we're about. But we want to pray for you, May, this morning. Come over, Pastor Kane, let's do that. Come and stand between us, eh? Amen. Can you feel the power? Okay, Yimei, we're so glad that you're joining us in this. And you've got a heart for youth. I've seen that. You're working 3 days a week as a school chaplain with the Mackay Christian College. And this is a next step for you. And I believe God's got further steps for you. As you faithfully sow in yourself into these roles, God is going to open other doors of opportunity. I don't know what they are yet, but they're coming. Just be ready. Father, this morning, I thank you for this young lady. I thank you for the anointing on her life. I thank you, Lord, she has a heart to serve you. And in that service, she's reaching out to young people. And I pray that your grace would rest upon her, along with the anointing. And as she goes into the realms of the university to reach students, I just pray you'll give her words in season. You'll give her words of encouragement. You'll give her words of hope to share with these people, that they might know that there is a hope, that Jesus Christ is the hope of the world, and that his life might flow, that light might come into the areas where there is darkness, hope where there is a loss of hope, and love perhaps where there is no love. We bless her in Jesus' name. May you go with her in mighty ways, Lord, we pray. I'm looking for miracles in Jesus' name. Amen. Bless you, Yimei. Please keep this lady in your prayers, and let's believe God that great and mighty things will happen. Let me ask you a question this morning. What is your attitude to the Bible? How do you see the Bible? Do you just see it as a book that weighs, I don't know how much, 250 grams, half a kilo, filled with many, many words? This particular one goes for, I don't know, 900 pages, written over 1,500 years in time, over 40 authors, 39 books in the Old Testament, 27 in the New Testament. Hard to understand. I have read this book so many times. I have had many Bibles. The thing is, I can't say I know it, but I am learning it as I open my heart to it. So I want to talk to you about the Bible this morning. It's just, this is a message that really just comes from a pastor's heart, because in this day and age, we need this. We need this. This is God's supernatural revelation into the natural. The words contained in here can bring what God intends from the spiritual realm into the natural realm. And that is our opportunity. What a mighty thing that God has ordained that a Bible should exist. People don't think it's the Word of God, and I'm going to show you that it is this morning. But this is the Word of God. It contains the Word of God. It is the whole Word of God. The Holy Spirit inspired this Word into men to write. And the whole thing dovetails together beautifully. It fits together. This, I know there are things that seem to contradict, but we call that truth in tension. The fact of life is, this is so powerful. It's alive. This is spiritual. This is not some dead thing with words written in it like newspapers and other books of fiction, or even if they're not fiction, they're still just books with words written in them. This is alive. And I want you to treat it with great respect and get to know it and learn it. So let's talk about it this morning, first of all. As I said, I'm speaking from my heart because you need to know the Word, and I'll explain that in a minute why that is so true. We've got hope from the Word. We've got guidance. We've got confidence. We've got that realm of understanding where we are in the present, where the past has come from, and where we're going in the future. It's supernatural. It's manifested to us, and we can take it and believe it. This is a kingdom book, and we are kingdom people. And so we have to read the manual. If you're a sport player, I mean, let's say you play football or played football, and you decided that you didn't like a member of the opposition team, and therefore you struck them. Stiff arm, as Artie Beetson knew how to do so well, a punch, as some of the others knew how to do so well. What would the referee do? He would stop you and say, take a break on the sideline and go and read the rule book. You're not allowed to do that. And yet Christians have this. We could call it the rule book, but they don't know the rules. So how do you know how to walk as a kingdom person if you don't know the rules that God's laid before you? So we want this morning, my heart is to convince you why the Bible is so important, but may the Holy Spirit work that into your heart as we walk. God has ordained natural laws. I mean, we know gravity. I'm sure we've all taken a tumble. I've noticed when I fall over, I don't fall upwards. I fall flat on my face. And you know, certainly when in younger days, playing games and doing all that sort of thing, it's just part of life. We know there's gravity. We're born with it. We can't escape it unless you go up to the moon where there's less gravity, or go into space where there's no gravity. The point is, God has ordained natural laws, but he's also ordained spiritual laws. And if we don't come to that understanding, we'll live our life with a sense of just being tossed to and fro by the circumstances of life and by the things that happen to us that we wish that didn't happen, but we can overcome these things and understand why they do. We need the Holy Spirit to bring the revelation of the Word, how to be changed into the likeness and character of Christ. And I want to cover a number of scriptures this morning. Most of them will be on the board, so let's start with Psalm 111, verse 7. All he does is just and good, and all his commandments are trustworthy. They are forever, to be obeyed faithfully and with integrity. He has paid a full ransom for his people. He has guaranteed his covenant with them forever. What a holy, awe-inspiring name he has. Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true wisdom. All who obey his commandments will grow in wisdom. Praise him forever. Trustworthy, holy, awe-inspiring, establishment of a covenant guaranteed by his word that we can grasp and that we can live in. So there's three things I want to show you this morning. One, the Bible is the word of God. Two, the Bible is the wisdom of God. And three, the Bible is the way of God. So let's take some more scriptures. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. I'm reading from the New Living Translation. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Then in John 17, 17, Jesus speaking said, sanctify them. The word sanctify means to make holy in God's sight. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. Satan deceived Eve by challenging the truth. He said, did God say? And when we have the word, we can say, yes, God did say. But if we don't know the word, we can be deceived and come to believe a lie, which is to our detriment and to our loss. How do you know God loves you? By feelings? You can't rely on those. Or do you know how God loves you? By truth. Truth is fluid in our world. There's just somebody outside the door over there trying to get in. I think they've come around the wrong side. Truth is fluid. If you don't believe that, just listen to politicians. They change the truth all the time. What was true yesterday is now not true today. Therefore, we are faced with things like political correctness and how we should act in certain places relating to people. Now, I'm a person who believes in respect. And I want to respect any person. I don't care where they've come from. I don't care who they are, male or female. I don't care the colour of their skin. I don't care about what language they speak, anything. I want to respect them. I want to love people. That's what God calls us to do. And so I hope I'm not a racist. But there are some people who'd probably say I am a racist because I'm from that generation that was supposed to be racist. I understand there's a university exam that they give medical students. And the purpose of this is to establish their attitude towards Indigenous people because they want them to medically provide for these Indigenous people. And so they ask them a series of questions. It's an exam. They marked on it. They receive their marks. It determines their level of grade at the end of that particular year. And these students are having to lie because if they answered them correctly, they'd say, oh, you're racist, and they'd be marked down in their overall results. This is in a university in Australia. How wicked is that? There's deconstruction taking place. Deconstruction of Christianity, deconstruction of the Bible, saying this isn't the word of God, it just contains some of the words of God. Well, the problem is if you start cutting out pages or blacking out certain areas and saying that's not God, where do you stop? You just keep going until you've got nothing left. It's an empty book with just a cover and not the words in it. I am encouraging you, believe everything that's in here. Does it all make sense? Well, that's why you've got to rely on the Holy Spirit to help you walk through it and to gain sense from it and to gain understanding and to receive the revelation that God wants to give you out of the Word of God. So that's important. Take it, believe it, walk in it. There's such a movement out there that wants to destroy our faith. Our faith is found in the Word of God. If you will lay hold of the Word of God and speak the words, you'll find faith will arise in your heart. That's where we need to live. When we think faith comes, I'm going to work this up. I'm going to get excited. And when they sing a certain song, I feel so full of faith. I'm going to declare what God's doing. Hey, that comes and goes. If you have to rely on coming to church on Sunday morning to get your faith built up, what happens the rest of the week? It's going to be like a tire that just lets the air out. It'll go flat. Faith is not based on a feeling. It's not based on necessarily what other people say to you. It's based on the truth of God's word when we hang on to it. In fact, sometimes we're going to hang in faith when we feel like there is no faith to hang on to. And that comes out of the word of God as we take it. All right, so the Bible is the Word of God. We're talking about that. You've got to believe it. I believe you've got to walk in it. I believe you've got to speak it and encounter it. In Ephesians 6:17, the Scripture says that put on the salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. When you look in Ephesians chapter 6, it talks there about the whole armour of God. The only offensive weapon is the sword. The rest defensive, the shoes, the belt, the breastplate, the shield, the helmet, they're all defensive. It's the sword that's offensive. And we need to take the sword. We need to take the word of God and fight the fight of faith and declare what is true in God. So, folks, if you don't know the word, you can't fight the fight of faith. You can't bring the sword into place in your life. And the word of the Lord is so powerful in your mouth. It brings healing. It brings deliverance. It brings hope. It brings life. It brings salvation. And so the word of God in you, that's why Satan wants to stop you from getting to this word. Satan is very happy if this is gathering dust on some shelf in your home, because he knows while it's there, nothing's happening in here or happening in here. So that's why we got to have the word. We got to grasp the word. We got to read the word. And look, some days I read the word and it's like chewing dry grass. It just doesn't bounce. Some days I read the word and there's much more inspiration in it. But I'm going to keep reading it because I want it to get in me. I need the word in me. And I'll explain why I need the word in me in just a moment, because it's a powerful thing when the word of God is inside you. God didn't intend for this to remain in here. He wanted it in you, and he's given it to us so that we can learn it. The second thing is, the Bible is the wisdom of God. This means the revelation of what God intends for humankind and for you. It's the revelation of his love expressed in Jesus Christ. We see in the Bible the fall, the redemption by Jesus Christ. We see the salvation that's given. We see the provision of the promise of eternal life through the word of God. It doesn't come because it's such a good idea that somebody shared with us. We might believe that, but until we confirm it in the word of God, it's not truth. When out of the word it becomes truth in our heart, we can live according to that. The prophetic words that are spoken, many of them fulfilled, many of them yet to be fulfilled. The promises that abound in the word of God. We have the beginning of where there's creation. We have the ending, which is revelation, and everything that God has revealed to us in between. When God said in the book of Genesis, "Let there be light," he was speaking truth by faith from the supernatural to the natural. And there was light. And then he spoke the other things into being. The only thing he did with his hands was to form man. We can be privileged. We feel good by that. So the wisdom of God, when we talk about that the Bible is the wisdom of God, the wisdom of God is man's knowledge revealed to be applied. You can have knowledge, you can know things and not do anything with them. You can be a very skillful person in your understanding of how things work, and that's all you have. You don't do anything with it. You don't fix anything. You don't apply it. You could be a gifted surgeon with a great understanding of human anatomy and how to operate on it, but never lift a scalpel. See, that's knowledge. Wisdom is the application of knowledge, and God reveals to us how to apply his knowledge through his wisdom, through our wisdom. So he's shown it to us through the word of God, and he's given us a plan. He's not left us in ignorance, but he's given us a certainty of how to do this life and trust for the next one. And so you've heard the term just in time. And in business, the idea of just in time is that, let me jump back a second. When I started work, I worked for a company that made hot water systems. I was in that particular division. And so we would buy all the stock in necessary to make the hot water system, and then they'd be, they'd come down the line, they'd start out as a rolled steel, they'd be welded, and then they'd put the ends in, and then they'd put all the other stuff that goes into it. But we'd have all the parts on hand, so there'd be no delay. But businesses started to realise to keep all the parts on hand was expensive. And so they developed a just-in-time strategy where they would just, if the next day they were making a particular product, a different type of product, then they'd order the parts in to be delivered that afternoon or the next morning so to be ready to roll down the line. The trouble is there are many just-in-time Christians. And what that means is they wait till they get to a catastrophe or a major drama in their life, and then they say, "Oh, I've got to find a word from God." And they find the word where Judas hanged himself. That's a great word from God. See, if you don't know the word, what are you going to do when trouble comes? What are you going to do when the enemy comes against you? You don't know. You're just not there. So you have to read the maker's instructions and put them to use. Let me read some more scriptures. Psalm 119, verse 50. "This is my comfort in my affliction, for your word has given me life." Then Psalm 119, verse 89, "Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven." We know that God watches over his word to perform it. And then Hebrews 4, 12. I'm reading from the New Living Translation on this one. For the word of God is alive and powerful. It is sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires. When we read the word, it's like a mirror showing us what we look like. And in that, we can make the changes. I can shave without a mirror. And usually my wife says, oh, you've missed some spots. So I use the mirror to shave, as I guess most guys do, don't they? Kane, you're using the mirror to shave, aren't you? Yeah. You need to get a new mirror, I know. So the Bible is the word of God, Bible is the wisdom of God, and the Bible is the way of God. Now let me just take some scriptures out of Psalm 119. To read to you. You know the scripture in Psalm 119 verse 105 that says, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Gosh, in this day and age, we need that. I need to know the way. I need to know my path. I need to know where my feet are planted so that I'm not walking on anything unpleasant out there. You know, the old days where they had outside toilets and people would go out there to the at night to use it. Well, I suppose that's why they had the old potties, the goes-under, that they had for years, because they didn't want to go out to the outside toilets. But if you went out there, you certainly had a look around, kept your eye open for snakes, redback spiders, or whatever else might be out there, because you didn't want to encounter those things in the dark. And so, therefore, we need a light for our feet, lamp for our path. Then Psalm 119 and verse 9. Let me just find that this morning. It says, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. And then Psalm 119 verse 11 says, your word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against you. We don't want to offend God. We need to know how to walk in those ways. And let me give you another one from Psalm 119. Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. Thy faithfulness is unto all generations. You have established the earth and it abides. We have the power of the word of God. Psalm 119, incidentally, is the one that talks the most about the word. It uses precepts and a whole lot of different names for it, but it's talking about the word. So we need our help and understanding. And Jesus said he would come and dwell in us by the Holy Spirit. That's where our help comes from. The Holy Spirit takes the word, makes it truth in our lives, brings the revelation. We know how to walk in it. We know how to apply it. And that's the good thing. He's not a GPS. GPS is just tell you where to go. The Holy Spirit works with our needs and tells us what we need to do to change. So God has given us his person, his provision, and his power. How do you know? Because it comes by the word. He's told us. The promises of God are there. The person. How do you know God loves you? How do you know that God even knows you? You can't rely on feelings or circumstance. You can't rely on me or any other person to tell you that God loves you. You need to find out for yourself. You need to establish it. You need to know it. What happens when the enemy whispers in your ear? Put the picture up there for me, would you? I think it comes after this slide. No, keep going. That's it. Read that and think about it. You got it? If Satan can talk angels out of heaven, he can talk you into hell. Be mindful what voices you listen to. Isn't that a thought? If a third of angels can be convinced by Satan to rebel against God and come out of heaven. Imagine how powerful he is, whispering in your ear, telling you things. God doesn't love you. God doesn't care for you. God doesn't even know you, despite the fact that the Bible says that God knows the hairs on our head. You see why we need the word? We have to. Jesus overcame Satan's temptations by the word of God. He said, it is written. And repelled what Satan was saying. What are you doing to repel what Satan's saying to you? I think many times Christians crumple because they're listening to what Satan says rather than listening to what the Word of God says. So there's the person, there's the provision. Bible says that we are spirit, soul, and body, and God has provided in all areas for us. He's provided healing, He's provided blessings, He's provided a spiritual life, He's provided our hope, our bodies are healed, our souls are restored. And then there's the power. Ephesians 6:12 says, let me find that. Yeah. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in the dark worlds, against evil spirits in the heavenly places. My question to you is, how do you handle the works of darkness that are out there? I know that there are families in need. It may be financial need. It may be spiritual need. Maybe your kids aren't walking with the Lord. Maybe you want to be praying for your siblings or your parents. I prayed for my parents for 10 years and then they accepted Jesus as their Savior. And as they got into older age and they couldn't go to church, the one thing I wanted assurance on was that they knew Jesus. And so I spoke to them, both of them, before they died. My dad died 2 years before my mum. And I said, do you believe that Jesus Christ is your Savior? And now they'd been going to church and they affirmed that they did. I did that for my grandmother who died 45 years ago, nearly more than 45 years ago. And she, I remember Denise and I were down in Sydney, we were visiting and she's in this hospital in Hornsby. And I could see into the, I don't know, was a section where she was, but she's on a bed. And I could see what was happening. Her heart was giving out and her body was, you know, shaking. But I got to say to her, do you believe Jesus Christ is your Savior? She'd been a churchgoer. Maybe she's the influence on my life. I don't know. But she did. Have that certainty is a great thing, to know your parents are in heaven. I want to know my children are in heaven, my grandchildren in heaven, anything that is relating to my life. I want to know my friends are in heaven and I've been working on them for years, still without result, but I'm not giving up. I won't stop praying till the day they die. It's too late after that. You hear what I'm saying about the power of the Word of God? See, we've got to declare a word. As for me and my household, that's what we've got to claim. And I believe my household includes all my relatives, the people that I am related to. I have seen a number of them come to the Lord, but many of them have not yet. But I'm believing for it. But I've got to declare the Word of God. And it's no point saying, oh Lord, this is what I want. This is my desire. I've got to declare what God's Word says. That He loves them. That He cares for them. Even if they're living a lifestyle that's contrary to God. Even the hardest can be turned by the love and the power of God. Do you hear me what I'm saying here? How do you fight the fight of faith? How can you deal with issues unless you know the Word of God? It's no good saying, when powers of darkness are coming against you, it's no good saying, oh, well, Pastor Rob says da-da-da-da-da-da, therefore you've got to go. That won't cut it. You've got to get it. It's got to be in your heart. The last 6 months has been probably the most difficult time in my Christian experience. I've just felt so attacked, so oppressed by the enemy. And I have to come in prayer and I have to declare what the Word of God says. That as the enemy comes in like a flood, the Holy Spirit raises up a standard against him. No tongue that rises against you in judgment. Sorry, I've got it. What was that? What's that say? God will condemn. But what's the start of it? Hey, so you got to know the Word. How do you fight if you don't know the rules? How do you fight if you don't know the words? How do you overcome? My heart for you is I don't want to see the devil trample on you. I don't have to keep picking up the pieces, saying, come on there, you can make it. I want you to get powerful in the Word of God, because God says not only for yourself, but the people that He wants to bring within your orbit, You need to know the Word of God so that you can fight the fight of faith on their behalf, that you can declare the Word of God over your family. You can declare the Word of God over your neighbourhood. You can declare the Word of God over your city, as we should, and praying for our nation, praying for our missionaries, and praying for other missionaries who are out there as well. Come on. I want you to be a fighting people. Not fighting each other, but fighting the kingdom of darkness. We're called to that. Paul says we don't wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against evil forces, against the darkness. I know this is not a pleasant subject, but it's one that has to be shared. Otherwise, people get knocked down by these things. We've got to rise up in the light and say, this will not happen. I will make a stand on this. I will believe in the name of Jesus, the power of Jesus' name, to deal with the works of darkness so that we might overcome not only for ourselves, but for others. So let's just talk about making it happen. We've been given a miracle. The supernatural has been given to us. The Word. Now we need to bring it into the natural. And we don't bring it into the natural by just owning it. That doesn't achieve anything. We bring it into the natural by speaking it into being. Therefore, we need to read it. And I'm encouraging you, read it. Look, you know I'm a promoter of life journals. And I will. And I'll continue to do so. Because I see how good life journals are in helping people to grow in the Word of God. It operates on the soap principle. You've got a scripture, you've got an observation, you've got an application, you've got a prayer. And you write it just a simple page. You can do the whole thing in about 15 or 20 minutes a day. Certainly you can give that amount of time. You can go longer, you can write longer, you can read longer. But as you grab things in there, they start to become real to you. And in the reality of that, you can stand not only for yourself, but for someone else. That's my heart for you guys. That's what I really want. Listen, let me close out with this thought. 2 Timothy 2:15 talks about be diligent. That means to study, to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Study the word. In the old days, we didn't have what we have now with electronics. If you wanted to find where a verse was and you didn't know, you had to get out a concordance. Now, a concordance weighed about 2 tonnes and was about as big as a house. And you'd flip in there and you'd read down trying to find a particular word relating to that, because the concordance gave every word in the Bible related to the scripture that had pertained to that word and the explanation of that word. Then you have to go to another section to get that as well. They were great. There was good. Strong's concordance. We all had them. Now we throw them out. Why? Because our phones give us what we need. We can go in there, different translations, go to the old King James, look up there, find out what the word really means in the Hebrew or the Greek. That was great. So we have the aids. We have everything we need, but we don't use it. And I want to encourage you, study the word, look at the word. If you can't understand something, maybe look it up, what it means. If you haven't got a Bible, there's a program called eSword. It's free. You can download it for your phone, you can download it for your PC, you can have it on your iPad, wherever you want it. And it's got great information in it as well, apart from reading programs and all sorts of things. So you can take it. Now let me just pause a minute. One of the things I do that this might just help you to walk through this realm, but as I've been walking in the difficulties of some of the issues that have come into my life, I have been taking Psalm 91 as my go-to scripture. And I just want to say to you, and look, we don't have it on the screen, so I can't share it with you in that way, but it's written like this. It says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So I read it like this. Lord, I dwell in your secret place, and therefore I abide under the shadow of you, Lord. And then verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. I say, Lord, you're my refuge, more you my fortress, you're my God, in you I will trust. Verse 3, surely he shall deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. I say this, God, I know by surety you deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. Do you see what I'm making? I'm making it personal. And there's so much in Scripture to do that. And Psalm 91 for me is a great Scripture because it goes a long way through. And I just make a stand on that Scripture so that I'm building up something in my spirit. I'm lifting my faith, standing against what's coming against me so I can walk in God the way He wants. Years ago, there was a book written called This Present Darkness, written by a man named Frank Peretti. It was about an explosion of evil that happened at a certain time. I want to say to you, what about this present age we live in? I believe that we're coming in, well, we are in the realms of darkness. It's around about us, it's increasing. How will you survive? How will you make it through? What happens when attacks come on your life? You're going to ring me up and say, pray for me? Well, I'd be happy to pray for you, but I want you to overcome. Because your next door neighbour needs to experience what you've experienced. When you overcome, you can talk to your next door neighbour and help them to overcome. They may not be Christian, but you can stand with them in that. Are you hearing me this morning? This is the day and age we live in. We're in an unprecedented time. I know there have been lots of things that have happened across human history, but we're in the last days, the last of the last days. And there are things happening across the earth which are just awful. Just awful. In the United States, they want to legalize, they want to drop the age of consent for a child to have sex with an adult. They want to drop the term pedophile and use child attracted and just try and make it sound good. This is the sort of stuff that's happening. The US Navy, I understand, If you're a parent is in the US Navy, you can change your gender at a young age without your parents' consent. US Navy provides that. And you think, wow, these are terrible. Well, I want to tell you, it's going to happen more. It's going to happen in Australia. You must have seen some of the changes in our law in our state that are happening in our nation. Now we can say, isn't that so terrible? Who want to live in Australia? Well, I was born into Australia, and you've come to Australia, and you've come to the kingdom for such a time as this. We've got to stand and fight. I don't mean we've got to have a fighting spirit. I don't mean that. We've got to be prepared to fight when we have to. Stand up for what's right. You know the old saying? If you don't stand up for what's right, you'll fall for anything. I don't want that to be said of you. Okay? Heavy duty, I know, but God help us. We're going to win. God's made us to be winners. Let's have the mighty worship team up. Did a great job this morning. Thank you. It all starts from a relationship with God. And I believe that when we worship, we're just opening our hearts up to Him for a greater sense of that relationship. And it's good that we can do that. It's good that it happens here in the house. But it has to go from here out. And, you know, worship God with all your heart. Relate to Him, love Him, get your mind focused on Him. But we have to take what He plants within us out. But we need the certainty of the Word walking, living, activating within us so that we are people of God, walking in the ways of God. Yes? And I just encourage you. When I read the Bible, I read this. I don't read my phone or my iPad. I might look in there for things and information, but I guess you can say old-fashioned. I mean, I'm on computers and all that kind of stuff. I'm not old-fashioned that way, but I like this. Sometimes when I pray, I just like to hold the Word and say, God, I want this to be so real in me. Help me to understand. I've read it. I wish I could understand it all. But I'm just trusting God that at the right time, He'll reveal what I need to know. But I'm saying to you, if you don't have the Word, how are you going to handle things when stuff comes against you? you're going to fall over. That's not God's intent. Okay.